Great news is this will be short. My wife and my daughter Phoebe and Kate's sister Mary and daughters Catherine and Megan and baby and also Stephen all left right after services to go back to Boston area. So it's kind of like that scene in Braveheart. Freedom. I miss them, really. I miss them already. I've got my grocery list ready. Tomorrow night will be Taco Bell. I'm thinking maybe Burger King. I don't know why. And then La Bamba's, they've got those burritos that are bigger than your head. So we'll survive. Just came off a elder meeting. There was a time when I could go home and you give me a good 60 seconds and I could be sound asleep. But my wife would say you could throw a grenade in that room and he'd just keep on snoozing. But the body's ready to go to sleep, but the mind always isn't. So lots of things to think about. I was really wrestling with what to talk about. I now have about 4 invitations ready, so this is the one after yesterday. I thought, yeah, this is the one. So last, a lot of you know that we heat our house with a wood stove, and so I went out last fall to look at my wood pile. It's the 10th wonder of the world. It's huge, and it's 4 cords of wood, which probably doesn't mean a lot to but you, if you were to look at it, you go, wow, that's wow. So I was looking at that. It's weird, but I go up there and I look at it and admire it. And there's some good wood in there. And I had a couple barrels full of kindling. I was ready for winter. I bring it on. It can get cold. It can start snowing. We'll just look out the window at that pretty snow and, you know, excited just thinking about it. My, how my attitude has changed. Probably Fred's too. I hate snow. I despise snow. I spit on snow. I've had my fill of it. But spring is just around the corner. And the reason I know that is I've been seeing some signs. I've been seeing some robins. You know, when you see those robins go bob, bob, bobbing along, that is a good sign. My wife, she believes that the ultimate sign is when you see red-winged blackbirds, and I saw some of those Monday. I'd have a UPS route, delivered a lot of farmers, and they've been out there playing around on their tractors, getting ready. My wood pile is almost empty, which is scary. Brian, he knows what that's like. Luanna, I'm still perplexed by this, but I saw a raccoon out in the middle of a field. I don't know what that means, but it probably means it springs around the corner. She does not like raccoons. I delivered a pool liner to this guy. I was like, whoa. But, and also my first delivery this year to the Big Fish campground. Fishing poles, bait, hooks, all that stuff. So they're gearing up. But my favorite sign, sorry, is the sandhill cranes. Can you hear that? Okay. It's those big birds. They have it's like drones, you know, it's what I think of, these drones. Get that huge wingspan, and they have a migratory path over our place. And so usually you hear them first, and then you see them. And they have this real distinctive sound. Thank you. I'm not proud. I'll do anything. But when you see those huge flocks heading north, to me, that is the ultimate sign. I don't put any stock in geese. The only reason I think God made geese is for jerky. You know, just pull the feathers off, cut up the meat, throw them in the dehydrator, and voila, tastes just like chicken. There's 3 things, though, about those sandhill geese that I really admire. They're really good at flying that V formation. And what they're doing is they're drafting. The ones in the front are sort of breaking the air, making it easier for the ones in back. And then sometimes what you'll see is the ones in the front, they'll break off and they'll head back to the rear, and then the others will move up and they'll get that V formation going again. It's sort of their way of helping each other. And then also they like to circle. And they'll do that every now and then. They'll find a thermal. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to be in a sailplane. It's really cool. You think about these people that jump out of airplanes that skydive. You think, why would anybody jump out of a perfectly good airplane? Well, why would anybody go up in a plane that doesn't have an engine? I'll tell you, it's so neat. They pull you, and you get to a certain point, and you hear this click, click. And that means they unhook the cable. And that's the last thing you hear. It's just so silent. You're out there, and you're looking around. Where's the runway? But when you find a thermal, you could just, all day long, there's guys from this area that have sailed all the way to the Appalachian Mountains and almost made it back. They were just catching thermals. And that's what those cranes do. They'll find a thermal, and they'll just circle for a while. They'll let some of the others catch up. Sometimes two flocks will come together, and they'll circle. And they don't, as long as their wings are out, there's no effort. They just soar. It's kind of a way for them to take a break. And then, I won't do it again, but that sound that they make, and they're just doing it as they're heading north or in the fall heading south, but I look at it as a way of like how they encourage each other to, keep on, keep on. Probably the ones in the back are saying, are we there yet? Can you see Canada yet? The amazing thing, though, that is about these sandhill cranes is that they remind me of you. And there's things that I have noticed this last year about your behavior. And you are perfect examples of Galatians 6:10, which says, so then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those of the household of the faith. So I have a few examples. There was a work day yesterday at Craig's. John really didn't know how many were going to show up, but as you probably saw the email, that two-story house was emptied. And a lot of people showed up to help. There's people that have been working at Logan and Rebecca Judy's house, helping them get that ready. A couple Fridays ago, Friday evening, I got a call saying that Brian and Natalie had about 1 or 2 days of wood. And I'm thinking, okay, it's Friday night. I'm going to send out an email. Who is going to show up? It's kind of late notice. We had 10 people that showed up. And it was enough people to get the job done. There was a young couple yesterday that watched Angel Capehart so that Bill and Wendy could be at the wedding. It was mentioned in an email not too long ago about the ladies' getaway and how they were needing some extra funding, which that money comes from individuals, and there were a number of people that helped with that, which was beneficial to those coordinators. We have an outside benevolence fund. It's money that just comes from individuals, and periodically we have people from the community that come in, and they need things like gas or food or diapers or just, and it's well regulated, but we always encourage them to come back and worship with us, and join in our Bible studies. But whenever I have posted an email need, it's just amazing how so many of you respond to that. Just here in the building, if you service lasts we'll just say an hour, and then the time of encouragement or other encouragement lasts another hour. I mean, people tend to hang around here, but you see people hugging each other, giving words of encouragement to those, especially those who have asked for prayers on their behalf. There was a young man recently that I encouraged to go help a young lady work on her truck for free, and pretty nice, and I think they're probably going to be getting engaged for a long, so I won't say anything about John Pettit, but he smiles a lot now. We have those that provide meals for the new moms and those folks who are sick. And I've looked at those lists before, and it's amazing how so many of you help out with those needs. We have periodically, whether it's here in our worship services or even at Rose Walk, when someone, because they have to work or they're sick, they can't fulfill whatever their responsibility is, we always have people that are willing to fill in and help out. And then also just the arrangement we have for funerals and how so many of you provide meals to help out those families that have lost loved ones. Then also, and all you got to do is read the emails, the everyone list, the Romans 15, and see all the prayer requests that are out there, and then knowing that, you can tell by people's responses, thank you for your prayers on our behalf. There's a lot of that goes on. And there's so much more. And if there's something you're really involved in, and I didn't mention it, I apologize. It's just that there are so many things that are going on here. You folks do such a great job throughout the week helping each other. And one thing that I've noticed is that not everybody participates. And I don't say that to make you feel guilty, because sometimes you have to work. Sometimes you've got school or studies or other responsibilities or other plans, and you can't be at these things. The thing I think that I've noticed, though, that I have to give God the credit, is there's always... there's always enough people to get the job done. Well, anyhow, it reminds me of 1 John. And I am actually just about done here. 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to begin in verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." Just like those cranes, we help each other. We encourage each other, and sometimes we just hang out and enjoy each other's company. To me, it's like a taste of heaven. As speaking to you as one of your elders, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being good sheep. I don't want any of you to ever be bad sheep. This might sound strange. I don't want you to be good either, because good oftentimes is misused. I've seen people, well, not seen, but heard of people that commit these heinous crimes, and then on the news, some relative will say, "But he's such a good guy." Heinous, or good people don't commit heinous crimes. So don't be bad. If you want to improve on good, you could be godly. That's really what it's all about. But I want to thank you for being such good sheep. And thanks for helping and caring for each other. Thank you for your godly example. In Psalms 133, we'll just read it. 133 in verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. I want to look at just two passages. It talks about the love that we ought to have for each other. In 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, reads, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from spreading deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." And the final passage I want to look at is in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 1. "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." I'm going to skip to verse 11, or beginning with verse 11. "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." There is a difference between you and the cranes, because I wouldn't dare call you bird brains, right? The crane's behavior is because of instinct. God-given instinct, but still, it's what cranes do. But your behavior is because of love. The love that you see in our Heavenly Father and the love that you see in His Son. So, keep up the good works. Keep up the good works. In Acts chapter 2, about verse 36, the crowd, and I'm paraphrasing, the crowd asked, you know, basically, maybe I should just turn to it. But I don't really like paraphrasing scripture. Acts chapter 2, verse, turn to 36. Peter had given this lengthy lesson and convinced the Jews there that this Jesus was indeed the Son of God. In verse 36, it says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" It may be that there is someone here tonight who is ready to be baptized. You've heard God's word proclaimed. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're willing to confess that before others. You're willing to repent of your sins. All you need to do now is to be baptized and have those sins forgiven and come up out of that watery grave a Christian, a child of God. And if you're ready, we're ready to assist you. So just come forward as we sing this invitation song.